Intimacy with God. Check. Check, check. One, two. There we go. Perfect. Intimacy. This maybe? Shall I move? Now we're travelling. And we're settled. There? Wonderful. Right then, let's try again. Intimacy with God. I remember a few years back, I was leading a youth group with another female leader, and we decided that we were going to talk on intimacy with God. And one of the male leaders came up to us and said, "You can't talk about that." Like, why not? Because there are boys in the room. What do you think we're going to talk about exactly? I said, no, the word intimacy, it doesn't resonate with men, with boys. They don't understand what that means. They just think it's all kind of airy-fairy, a bit chick-flicky. You're going to have to think of another word. So for all of you who might have switched off, male or female, I'm going to try and bring them back now. So beer, football, poo. Have I got your attention? So I am going to use the word intimacy, so you're going to have to stay focused, okay? If that word means nothing to you, it means closeness. It's a spiritual, emotional, physical closeness. The dictionary defines intimacy as a closeness with another person, like that develops between friends as you tell one another your life story and all your secrets and dreams for the future. Another way to think of intimacy is, this is a bit twee, but we'll go with it, in to me see. The idea that someone can see into you, like an x-ray, that they know everything that's going on with you, that you're completely uncovered and transparent and nothing withheld. Now we go some way towards having complete intimacy with human relationships. So if you think of a mother and a child, that's quite an intimate relationship. When a mother is carrying a baby in her womb, I mean, the baby can't get any closer to the mum, can she? She's protected, she's nourished, she's carried. I think that's a beautiful picture of intimacy. There's intimacy between a husband and wife. So marriage is probably one of the most intimate human relationships that you can have. And sex within marriage is one of the most intimate acts that you can have. And I'm just aware that if you'd still switched off, the word sex in church probably brought you back, didn't it? We'll try it again later on in the talk. So, what is intimacy with God? Now, I think that Jesus and Father God are the perfect model of intimacy, because it says in John 17, Jesus says, "I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." That's all of us. "I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one." He's talking about him and God. "As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me." And he goes on later to say, "O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I've revealed them to you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." So as I said, a baby in a womb is probably a really good illustration of this, because you can't separate the baby from the mother while she's carrying him. She's always with the baby. And that's kind of how it is with us, with Jesus in us and us in Jesus. We can't go anywhere without him. God is always with us. He's always holding us. He's always carrying us. He's always protecting us. He's always feeding us with everything that we need. Now, Jesus and Father is a good illustration of that unity, because Jesus said that he never did anything that he didn't see his Father doing. He never acted unless he felt God was doing it. He never said anything that he didn't think God was saying. That is union. That's intimacy. And intimacy is also obedience. If you know that God is telling you to do something, or he's calling you out of some behavior that you're doing, you can't be intimate with someone whilst you're disregarding their wishes, whilst you're ignoring them. So intimacy with God is obedience, just like Jesus was obedient to him when in Luke 22 we hear that he was crying out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, "I don't want to go through crucifixion. I don't want to do it. but if it's your will, God, if you want me to do it, I will. And he did. That was true intimacy. That was obedience. Intimacy with God is personal. I'm going to be quite vague about how you're intimate with God and how you spend time with him, because it's different for each one of us. There's no point me telling you how I spend time with God, because it'll be different from you. And you might notice that the way that God connects with you and you connect with God will change as you go deeper in your relationship with him, because God is great at never keeping us in that extra comfortable zone of boredom or repetitiveness. So if you're getting used to him talking to you in one way, it might be that he's going to start talking to you in a completely different way quite soon. It's personal. Christine Kane always goes on about running your race and staying in your lane. So there's no point looking at other people and thinking, oh, well, they're on this journey with God and this is going on in their life and they've seen this result from prayer, because your relationship with God is completely different. Intimacy with God is knowing his voice. You've probably heard the analogy before, but if you get a phone call and you pick up the phone and it's your spouse or it's your parent or something, you recognise their voice from just the word hello, wouldn't you? I go one further that I can actually predict when my mum is going to call me. It's usually because I haven't spoken to them in a couple of weeks, and they're just, you know, checking to see I'm still alive and that. But the phone rings and I think, yeah, that's going to be my mum. I pick up and, oh, it is my mum, because I'm close. We have a close relationship. I know her. I know her voice. I know her behaviour. So I know it's her. I recognise her straight away. And it's the same with God. You can recognise his voice. The more intimate you get with him, the closer your relationship is with him, the more you speak to him, the more you hear from him, the more you start to recognise when it's him prompting you or calling you or speaking to you. So why then can we have intimacy with God? Because God is holy. He's holy, holy. He is without sin. He's never sinned. He's completely righteous. And yet we're very human and we do things wrong and we disobey him and we turn away from him. So how can we be in his presence? Adam and Eve had intimacy with God when they walked with him in the Garden of Eden. But they sinned. They turned away from him. They did what they thought was best. They were independent of him. And that meant they couldn't be in God's presence anymore, and he had to send them away. Now, he gave humans a system of sacrifices and ways of atoning so that in the Old Testament, before Jesus, they could still have a relationship with God, but it was very structured. It was very ritualistic. It required sacrifices. And even then, it wasn't a perfect way to bring people back to God. The only way that God ended our separation from him permanently was through Jesus. When Jesus died and overcame death, he paid the penalty for all of our sins, which meant that any one of us, if we have Jesus in us, if we accept that he is Lord of our lives, any one of us can have that intimacy, that relationship with God. We can be in God's presence because Jesus in us is holy. And we take on Jesus' holiness when we accept that he is Lord. I'm really pleased that Joe, he did the last song, whatever which one. Huh? Beautiful Jesus, because it's got the line in it, friend of mine. And I've put here in John 15, verse 15, 16, that I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Sorry. We can be friends with God. God wants us to be his friend. That is a level of intimacy that's really hard to understand. Poo, beer, football, are you with me? Wow, I can see you. You're kind of like just glazing over. Cool. Whew. Another way that we can have intimacy with God is through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit unites us with Christ, other believers, and Father God. He speaks to us what Father God is saying to us. It says in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Because of Holy Spirit, we can hear God, And that communication is what brings us closer to God. Ephesians 2 says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. We have complete access to God because Holy Spirit connects us with God. So then, that's all very nice, but why would you want to be intimate with God? Because actually, that's quite a scary, quite a hard thing to get your head around, that a closeness with the Almighty God is a good thing for us. But we were built for it. We were built to be in relationship with Jesus. We were built to be in relationship with God. Nothing else will sustain you like a relationship with God will. Nothing else. Matthew 22 says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with this reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The first and greatest commandment is to love God. That is intimacy, relationship with him. You can't love someone and not be in a relationship with them. Love for God is our primary love. If we want to grow in love with, grow in our love for God, we have to grow in our intimacy with him. You don't grow close to a friend or a spouse if you don't really like them or you just don't know them. Psalm 63 says, God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Drink break. You can all join in, yeah? Lovely. Cough break. And she's back. Right. Exodus 34 says, you must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. God is jealous. Clearly no one told him that jealousy isn't very Christian. But God is jealous. He's jealous for you. He's jealous of your relationship with other people, with other things, anything that you put in priority over him. He wants you to love him above everything else. And he is fiercely, fiercely jealous of anything that gets in the way of that relationship. Why do you want to have intimacy with God? Why do you want a relationship with him? Because he's the only one who truly understands you. Isaiah 65 says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. What other person in your life can do that who knows what you're thinking? You're all praying for me? Yes, yes you are. Good. Who else in your life knows you as well as God does? I mean, your spouse might pretend. They might even be able to kind of guess what it is by the look on your face, what you're thinking, but they don't really know. And any husbands will probably be really used to kind of playing the guess game of, she's angry. I don't know why. Cat is fine. Took the dog for a walk. I've done the washing up. No, she's still angry. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But you're intimate with your spouse. But they don't know you as well as God does. They can't read your mind. They don't know what you're going to think before you think it. He's the only one who knows exactly what you're going through in life. He knows your pain. He knows your joy, your fear. He knows you better than you know yourself. And no other human relationship can touch those parts of your life. He's the only one that you can be truly honest with without fear of any repercussions. He cries with you. He laughs with you. He gets angry over your mistreatment. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. He can make you feel known and appreciated and wanted like no other person can. Matthew 10:30 says that God has counted the hairs on our head, which in my life is probably quite a full-time job for him because I have long hair and I molt. He's the only one that can bear your burdens. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you, it says in 1 Peter. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, says in Matthew 11. He is the only one that you can completely offload to, and he can take it. I mean, as much as your close friends or your spouse wants to help you, if all you ever did was share your every single burden in life with them, they would get weighed down by it. But God doesn't. He can take everything, every cry, every pain, every fear, he can take it. It's through our relationship with Jesus that we gain our strength and fruitfulness. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you, in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you've joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. If you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Isaiah 40 says, those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Relationship with God fuels us. It strengthens us. It keeps us going. So what stops that intimacy with God? Not knowing how is a big deal. It's one of those things you don't really get taught as a child, is it? You get taught how to play nice, but you don't really get taught how to have relationships with people. It's supposed to be modelled by your family, but that doesn't always work out. And human relationships, they're never truly comparable. They get close to expressing how God is with us, but they don't completely show us the whole picture. How do you form a deep, emotional, intimate relationship with God, who you can't see, who you can't touch, you can't judge the expression on his face? Another thing that stops intimacy with God is fear. We're scared of him a lot of the time. We're scared that he will see us, that if we go to him and we're completely honest, he's going to ask us to change. He's going to reject us. I was thinking of this in the way I talk with my boss at work, for instance. I'm reserved. I hold back. I don't make the kind of jokes that I would normally make amongst my friends or my teammates at work. I'm a little bit more careful. And I think that's how we are with God. I think a lot of the time when we talk to him, we're just very aware of holding back a little bit because he's holy and we don't want to offend him. I think we put on fig leaves, trying to cover up who you really are. I think we're all a bit guilty of talking to God in a different way than we would do with other people. I went on holiday with some of this lot down to Brighton recently. Yes, down to Brighton last week-ish. And we played this awful, awful, horrendous game called Cards Against Humanity. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it or played it, but don't. It's awful, it's vile, and just never play it, especially not with me, because I will win. Oh, yeah, totally won. It's horrible, but basically it's the whole point of the game is to see how offensive you can be. Turns out quite offensive. But I couldn't play that game and then go and start spending some time with God and change the way I spoke to him. Oh, Father in heaven, my dear, dear beloved Father. Because he was there when I was playing the game. Why would I then? He saw what he knew what I was thinking. He heard what I was saying. How can I then go and start talking to him in a completely different way? It makes no sense. And some of you probably think, well, actually, no, I'm really honest with God. So I tell him everything and I don't dress up my language. But how much do you think about what you're praying? I mean, so many times I've caught myself saying, oh Lord, I pray that you will bless so-and-so, bless their heart. I wouldn't know whether God had blessed their heart or not. I don't know what blessing of a heart looks like. I don't what exactly am I asking him? Father, I pray for your favour in this meeting with my boss. Am I expecting a pay rise? I don't know what I want. I'm just saying words that sound good, but I don't know whether they're actually what I'm thinking or feeling. How can you have intimacy with someone if you don't even know what you're saying to them? If you're not really paying attention? I think that sometimes we have the wrong idea of God, and that stops us from being really intimate with him. You see him as angry or fierce or about to smite you. Then you're not going to want to come to him and say, actually, I'm really struggling with this thing that I keep doing and I don't want to do it anymore, because you're expecting him to get angry with you. Why would you risk drawing close to someone? I love that you're just eating a cake. That's really funny. Why would you risk drawing close to someone if you're expecting them to punish you? That wrong understanding of God, that expectation that he's angry at you, that stops us getting intimate with him. Our sin, our independence, or sin dependence, as I might call it now. That thinking that we can do it on our own without him, that we don't quite need to follow what he's asking us to do, because actually we're pretty sure we know a little bit better. That turning away from him. How can you be intimate with someone? How can you be close to someone? How can you connect with them the whole time you're being independent from them? I've used the analogy before of how God isn't on a swivel chair, so that he doesn't turn away from us when we sinned. But actually, a lot of the time, when we're sinning, it's us turning away from him. So if you think of it like that, that God is always in front of you, always close to you, always waiting for you, but actually you're facing the other direction, because you're choosing to go your own way, you're choosing to do your own thing, then you can't have a close relationship with someone whilst just showing them your back. We have the wrong view of ourselves. We don't understand what grace is, I think, is a big hindrance to our relationship with God. I'm not going to come close to you, God. I'm not going to pray with you. I'm not going to talk to you because I'm no good. I'm a sinner. I am sinful. I can't be in your presence. And God's saying, but Jesus died so that you could be in my presence. But I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I can't be with you. I need to repent. I need to ask for forgiveness 23 times before I'm good enough to be in your presence, God. But Jesus died so that you could be in my presence. It's that thing of, we don't quite understand that grace covers everything. That God's mercies are fresh every single morning, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're thinking. You can still be close to him because Jesus made the way. We focus on our failings and not falling on his mercy, I think, a lot of the time. We hold back. There are areas of our lives that we just don't give to God. There are things that we're struggling with, or particularly painful areas that we just don't want to talk to him about. We don't want to open up to him. We don't want to risk him putting his finger on something and saying, that's where I want to help you, that's what I want to change. So we hold back. We talk to him about everything else, but we don't want to talk to him about that one thing. And that might be the one thing that he's wanting to help you with. But we put that barrier up, that don't come any closer, no entry sign. I think being religious is a big, big stumbling block when it comes to intimacy with God. John 5 says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. If I make sure that I read my Bible every morning, then I'm in relationship with God. As long as I read a chapter every day, then I'm doing all right. Doesn't matter that I'm not actually hearing from God through the Bible, but I'm reading it, right? So I'm in relationship. How would it be if you had a conversation with someone? You went to a friend's house for dinner. They offered you a drink of water. You go into a friend's house for dinner, you're talking, and then after 20 minutes you just got because you've conversed. You spent your 20 minutes talking, you're in a relationship, right? So you can go, you're free, you're off the hook. What intimacy would you have with that friend? Yes, you put the time in, you did a 20-minute talk with them, but that's not friendship, is it? Just upping and leaving when you're done. And yet we seem to do that with God. We seem to think, as long as I've done this, 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 and this morning, then I'm right standing with God, I'm good with him, I'm in relationship. As long as I read 2 chapters of my Bible every day, then he's happy with me, right? It doesn't matter that actually he didn't want you to read 2 chapters at all. He just wanted you to look at that one verse that he's talking to you about. Because we're so busy with doing what we're supposed to be doing and ticking the checkboxes on our list of to-dos with God that we don't actually stop to listen to what he's saying. We get so caught up in the ritual and the routine that we don't listen to the heart of God. I think we have a divided loyalty a lot of the time. James 1 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not accept to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. When we come to God and ask him to help us with something, but we've got a backup plan, or we want to hear from him, but we're still going to read our horoscopes, that's divided loyalty. If you want to be in relationship with God, if you want intimacy with him, he's got to be your priority. He's got to be your source, your number one, your only source of everything. And he might choose to reveal things to you through a friend, or he might choose to bless you through the actions of someone else, or a myriad of other ways, but you've got to seek God first and only God first if you really want to have a relationship with him. So how do we have intimacy with God? We have to seek him. Normally when I know that I've got to preach, I will ask God what it is that he wants me to preach on. And this week, it wasn't coming to me as easily as it normally does. And I was doing the prayer of, Lord, what do you want me to preach about this week? Lord, what do you want me to preach about this week? Okay, we'll try again tomorrow. Lord, what do you want me to preach about this week? Lord, what do you, you're not, look, what is this, God? And I felt very close, like, really clearly, come and spend some time with me. And so I did. I don't know how long it was. Really long, I'm extra holy. I spent some time just talking to God and just enjoying being with him. And I didn't get the answer to that question. I didn't suddenly hear, preach on this. But I spent the time with him with no agenda. There was no, like, I'm praying because I need something from you, which is what I had been doing. I just wanted to spend time with my God. And that night I fell asleep, woke up the next morning, and it was really clear in my head, intimacy with God. Now, he'd answered my prayer, but he hadn't answered it straight away because he wanted me to have a relationship with him, not just use him like some spiritual jukebox where I put my prayer in and I expect something back. He wanted me to converse with him, to listen to him, to just delight in being with him. We have to seek him. Communication is so key to relationships, any relationships, but especially with God. Now, I read a verse earlier that says that he knows what we're thinking before we even say it. So why then do we bother to pray? If he already knows what we're thinking, what's the point of telling him? It's the relationship. It's drawing us closer. You can't... Oh, what would a marriage be like if you never spoke to each other? Yes, you know that the bins need taking out, you know that the kids need ferrying around, but you never spoke to each other. You know what the other person needs, but you never talk about it. There'd be no intimacy in that relationship. There'd be no closeness, no friendship. And it's the same with God. We talk to him not because he doesn't know what we need, he already does, but because he wants to delight in our company. He wants us to delight in his company. He wants to grow us closer to him. We have to seek him by looking to understand his character. Proverbs 2 says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. We have to seek him. We have to actively want to understand what he's like. The way that you recognize the voice of someone else on the phone is because you spent time listening to them. You spent time knowing their character, understanding what they're like. So you can tell instantly, even if it was a text message or an email, you could probably tell whether it's your spouse talking or not. We all know that Mark and Cheryl share an email address, but you can instantly tell who it is who sent the email from what they've put in the content, can't you? You know whether it's Mark or it's Cheryl. But that's because you know what their character's like. It's the same with God. He doesn't want us to approach him through a sense of obligation or duty. He wants us to delight in him, to desire him. Now, when I was on this holiday in Brighton, I found that I didn't have the usual time that I would to spend with God. And by the end of the holiday, I was noticing it. I was really like, I haven't spoken to him much today. I haven't spent time with him. I've sent up the arrow prayers of the, Lord, please help me. Lord, please stop this from happening. Lord, I pray that Joe stopped going on about his spaghetti bolognese that he cooked. We all know it was good. But I didn't actually spend proper time just being with him. And I had a yearning. I wanted, when I got back home again, I wanted to spend time with him. I think the more intimate we get with God, the more that happens, the more that you miss being in his presence when you're not with him, or actively with him, because he's always with you. You have to accept him. It says in Revelation 3, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. If Jesus is calling you into a relationship with him, or he's calling you into a more intimate relationship with him, you have to say yes. God respects the free will that he gave us, so he's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to demand your attention or demand that you speak to him, but he does draw you closer, he does call you, but you have to respond to that, you have to say yes. I think you have to trust him, trust that he's for you and not against you. That's a big way to have intimacy with God, is know that he is looking out for your best, he wants the very best for you. Trust that you can approach him with boldness. Because Jesus has paved the way, there's nothing that is stopping you from speaking to God, to spending time with him. I think of an illustration I once heard. I can't remember it in detail, so I'm going to keep it vague so that it's not a lie. But there was a president who was incredibly busy because he's a president. People would have to make appointments like years in advance just to have an hour with him. He would stop everything in an instance when his little kid would come into the room. Every meeting that was going on would be cancelled. He'd just spend time with his son. The son didn't have to book in advance. The son didn't have to be really important and the president of, or king of another country. He just laid down everything to spend time with his child. And that's the same with God. You can approach him at any time and he will turn his full attention to you, because his full attention is always on you. But we can have that access to God. We have to be real with him. We have to trust that we can be our absolute honest selves and that he's not going to reject us. Say what you really think when you're talking to him. Don't use the flowery biblical language that you think is right, because he knows what your heart is. So just speak from your heart. You've got to be vulnerable with him. You've got to let your guard down and let him speak to you about the stuff that's really going on in your lives. And it might mean admitting something to yourself that you've kind of been ignoring, disregarding. And you also have to be willing to accept his correction. So if he's saying to you, there's an area of your life that I know isn't helpful for you, there's something that you're doing that I know hurts you, let's talk about it. You've got to be open to that conversation with him, open to his leading. Another way of being intimate with God is by being faithful. You've got to be committed to him. I don't know if you've all heard about the recent scandal with the Ashley Madison website. Have you heard about this? That it's a website that is essentially set up so that people in long-term relationships could meet other people in long-term relationships to have an affair with. Yes, I know, delightful, right? The The tagline of the website is, "Life is short, have an affair." Unfortunately, for the people that are having these affairs, all of their contact details got leaked off of this website. So lots of spouses are doing internet searches for their spouses' email addresses and finding out that they were registered as users on this affair website. Now, that's the kind of thing that you might think you can get away with. Having an affair, you might get away with it. But with God, of course you don't get away with it, because he knows exactly what you're up to. Now, we cheat on God when we put other things ahead of him. It says in James 4, "You're cheating on God if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care?" The proverb has it, "He's a fiercely jealous lover, and what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet." To be intimate with God, we've got to reject anything that's getting in our way of our relationship with him, anything that's drawing us further away from him. It might be a human relationship that you've got that isn't helpful to your walk with God. It might be a time commitment. You're spending all your time playing Xbox rather than talking to God. Or you're in a job that takes over your entire life and you're just spending too much time focusing on that and not on him. If there's something that's getting in the way of your relationship with God, it's got to go, because he is the priority and you only find fulfillment in life through him. Another way of being faithful is through worship. And worship is putting God above everything else, as I've said. But by focusing on God, by putting him as your priority, it puts everything else in perspective. When we set our eyes and our hearts' attention on him, everything else fits into its own place. So if you're fearful of something and you're meditating on how faithful God is and how good he is and how he provides for you, that fear diminishes. Worship is another way of being in his presence. So we do become more intimate, more close, connected to God through worship. To be intimate with God, we've got to be patient. It's a process. Friendship takes time. If I went up to someone at a party and said, "When was the last time you cried? Are you scared of dying?" I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be invited to any more parties. Maybe that's why they won't invite me to the pub. 2 weeks on, it still hurts. Those kind of questions, that kind of level of trust is born through relationship, it's born through time. You can't just switch on that closeness to someone, can you? And it's the same with God. It's a process. We're not all there yet. It actually says in 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then," talking about when we're in heaven, "we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." True intimacy with God won't happen fully until we're in heaven with him, face to face with Jesus. But life is a journey. I heard someone once say that life with God is a journey of discovering the hidden gifts along the way. I can't remember who said it. Helen Pollitt once said, "Life with God is a journey of discovering the hidden gifts along the way." He shows us our sins over time, when it's right for us to start facing them, when it's healthy for us to start dealing with those things. He gives us blessings. He reveals aspects of his character to us. But he doesn't do it all at once. It's not the day you become a Christian, suddenly everything is downloaded into your brain. It's a journey. It's a journey of perseverance. It's one of patience. But it's exciting, and he's faithful throughout the whole thing. He's drawing us closer. Like when I was asking for the sermon topic, he could have given me the answer right there and then, said intimacy with God, but then I wouldn't have actually spent the time with him, because I probably really would have gone, oh, thanks God, and got on with watching TV or something. So, no, something really spiritual. Giving money to the poor. So what now? What do you do with this? You can have intimacy with God. You might want intimacy with God. I'm going to read Psalm 139 to you, and as I'm reading it, talk to God. Ask him to reveal to you if there are any blocks in your relationship with him, anything that's stopping you from having a more intimate relationship with him. Do you think he's calling you deeper? Do you think that he's calling you to spend more time with him or to speak to him more? Then answer him. Perhaps you've never actually asked Jesus into your life, and you're at that point where now actually you're ready to trust him. You're ready to trust that he's got good things for you, and you're ready to make that commitment to him. If you think that's the case, then say yes. There is no greater thing, just say yes. And ministry team will be so happy to pray with you about that after the service. But for others of you, do you need God's help in a particular area of intimacy with him? Perhaps you need to trust him more, or you really struggle with being real with him. Or maybe you just want his help in giving up something that is getting in your way of your relationship with him. Then ask him. So I'm going to read Psalm 139 to you, because it's a beautiful illustration of his intimacy with us. And afterwards I'm going to say a short prayer and then we'll be finished. O Lord, examine my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the grave, you are there. If I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was being woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Father God, I thank you that you want a relationship with us. I thank you that you want us to delight in you. Lord, you're always drawing us closer. You're always drawing us into a more intimate relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us any areas of our lives that are getting in the way of that relationship with you. Anything that's stopping us from having true intimacy with you. Give us the strength to give up stuff that is a block. Help us to push through fear and misunderstanding into a true relationship with you. Father, for all those who haven't yet recognized you as their loving Father God, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to them as their daddy, as their papa, as someone who wants a loving, intimate relationship with them. I pray that over the following week you would call to our hearts, that we would recognize you calling us to spend time with you, not out of a sense of obligation, not out of a sense of wanting to check the check boxes of our list of to do, but just wanting to be in your presence, wanting to sing songs to you or to talk with you. I pray that you would call to our hearts, that we would have that longing in our hearts and give us the strength and the knowledge to respond to that. Lord, I thank you that your love never fails, that you never, ever walk away from us, that you never turn away from us, but you are always, always ready to be in relationship with us. I thank you, Lord, that it's your great desire. It's why you created us, to be in relationship with you. Help us, Father. Help us to walk in that fulfillment of life, Lord. Amen.